Hello and welcome to Bird Pod for Sunday the 18th of January. This is the Bird Watching Podcast. Or really, I suppose that should be the Bird Listening Podcast, because there's nothing to see. And that, in case you're wondering, is an artificial blackbird. By that, I don't mean that it's full of flavourings, colourings, preservatives, any of that naughty stuff. Nope, this is a soft, fluffy toy. We buy these from the RSPB website, the online shop there. I think they cost about £6. And basically what it is it's like a child's soft toy. Looks like a blackbird, you know, because I don't want to confuse you. If it looked like a dinosaur and made like a noise like a blackbird, that would be daft, wouldn't it? But no, it looks like a blackbird, it sounds like a blackbird, and it has authentic bird calls. There's a few different types that we sort of collect them. Because I've got two dogs, and actually one of them loves playing with them. So there we have it. One more go at this thing, come on. Okay, so today, before we carry on, what I'm going to do is I've got two dogs that I do need to take for a walk. Rosie, do you want to go out? Hey? Rosie? Got a walk? Yep, there we are. That's Rosie, my border collie. Gina, not as eager, but she's sat downstairs waiting. So what I'm going to do, before we carry on with this, and the topic, why do you enjoy bird watching? And, you know, some of your responses. What we're going to do is we're going to nip out for a quick walk first with the dogs. Why do I need to record this? I don't really, but the area where I'm going to is the River Douglas in Wigan, and there's quite a number of birds in the woodland area near there, so rather than make this all clinical and record it inside, I'm going to set this out with me, do a little bit of a recording and just see if we can hear anything. And that's all it is, a little bit of ambience, a little bit of chill-out relaxing stuff. If you want Gregorian chant, folks, you ain't going to get it here. If you want any trance music, stick an album on, you know, the orb, whatever. But for now, I'm going to pause this for a second. The next sound you should hear, thank goodness they say, when they find out it's not my voice, but it should be the sound of whatever birds there are in the area. Okay, so I'll be back with you after that. Well, there we go. There's a few sounds of nature recorded for your listening pleasure. We're coming to the end of our walk now. We're now going to go back home where I can carry on with the rest of it. Before I go to the section where you have your say about why you like birding, bird watching, birds in particular, the next thing is going to be birding news, which is news stories that I've come across on the internet, or that people have made me aware of, related to birding, bird watching, birds in general. So, right, I'm going to stop this for a second, get the cup of tea on, get the kettle on, make a cup of tea, and in a moment, birding news. So don't go away, folks. Okay, so here we are, back inside, and ready to give you some birding news. I have got a cup of tea in front of me. I don't need to have a drink for effect, but I'll have a drink because I want one. Right. Just a couple of stories this week. First one, this was dated 30th of January, and this is from the RSPB's website. In case you need to know, folks, I'm sure you do already, but the web address for that is rspb.org.uk. Okay, seeds and bugs experiment to save sparrows. The RSPB has secured funding from SETA Trust to run a number of trials that have the potential to restore London's declining house sparrow population. The capital's house sparrow population has dropped 68% compared with that of 15 years ago, indicating something's wrong with our environment. What do sparrows need? Working in partnership with six local authorities and organisations in London, the £170,000 SETA Trust funding will allow us to see whether long grass, wildflower meadows or arable flowers provide the food-rich habitats that sparrows require. The project builds on two major RSPB research programmes looking into the bird's decline. More than half of Greater London is private gardens and parks, so creating the right habitat for house sparrows could have a marked impact. The new habitats will also bring a host of other benefits for urban wildlife by attracting and supporting butterflies, bees, grasshoppers and other garden birds like tits and finches. Running over 3 years, the trials will be based on sites owned by the project partners, Lea Valley Regional Park Authority, City of London, the Royal Parks Agency, Wandsworth Borough Council, Islington Council and Southwark Council. Yep, that's that one. Find that particularly interesting. We're lucky where I live because I do get house sparrows visiting my garden. And with the sounds of it, that's, for some people that's quite a rarity, so I feel quite privileged with that. Right, here we go. Another cup of tea. I'll tell you what, you don't get this on ITN, do you? They don't stop for a brew. Sweet dirt. Okay, let's just move that one back up. This is from the Mail Online. The title of it is Pictured. Twitcher waits two hours for rare bird, excuse me, only to have it snatched away by a buzzard. And there are photos with this. After 2 hours spent lying in the undergrowth, a twitcher waiting for a sighting of a rare bird got a whole lot more than he bargained for. Paul Freeston only managed to get a quick glimpse of the elusive grey phalarope before a hungry buzzard swooped down and snatched it with its razor-sharp talons. The attack, which unfolded right before Paul's eyes, was caught on camera in this amazing sequence of pics. This is a picture of the bird flying past, actually. Clutching onto the phalarope. Caption, gotcha. A buzzard swoops down on the grey phalarope. Paul Freeston below, picture of the gent, of course, had spent 2 hours lying in the undergrowth to get a glimpse of the rare bird. Experts say the moment is unprecedented as buzzards, although Britain's largest birds of prey rarely attack other birds. They are known to be lazy carrion feeders and normally hunt on open land, eating worms, beetles, small mammals or carcasses. Paul of St Ives, Cornwall, captured the incredible sequence of pictures at St Gothian Sands near Hale in Cornwall with fellow twitcher Tim Twiggs, 43. The 36-year-old said, "Tim called me to say a grey phalarope had been spotted in the area and we immediately rushed down. We'd never seen one before. We got tucked away with our lenses and waited for ages. Then suddenly it appeared close to us, so I got a few shots. But as we were watching the phalarope, a common buzzard took an unhealthy interest in our rare visitor." Another picture showing it aiming and going for the bird, which says the unsuspecting phalarope certainly chose the wrong time to venture out. And one of it splashing in the water. Snatched, the buzzard swoops down and grabs hold of the defenceless bird. To carry on, he suddenly launched itself and flew so low over the water that its wing tips dragged in the water and flew straight at the unsuspecting phalarope. The poor bird didn't stand a chance. Tim and I stood watching in silence with our jaws dropping. I've not seen anything like this in 29 years. The funny thing is, neither of us had seen a buzzard do that before, either so from a bird's spotting point of view. Hang on, start again. The funny thing is, neither of us had seen a bird do that before either. So from a bird's spotting point of view, it was two birds with one stone. It was very strange because they usually eat carrion, and neither of us had ever seen a buzzard make a kill. Never mind kill a scarce bird. RFPB spokesman Peter Exley said the images captured a one-in-a-million moment. He said buzzards are not really active hunters and don't use speed to catch prey, so for one to catch a bird is a very unusual event in itself. They like to eat carrion and small mammals that they can swoop on, but they also eat a lot of beetles and worms. For a buzzard to prey on a rare visitor like a phalarope, it's a one-in-a-million chance. Phalaropes are birds found in coastal areas, so that makes it even more unlikely that a bird of prey would pick one of them off. I've never heard of anything like it before. A bit more info. Grey phalaropes, Latin name Phalaropus fulicarius, he says, hoping he said it right, breed in Greenland, Iceland, Siberia, North America, and migrate to spend the winter in the southern hemisphere. They are occasional storm-driven winter visitors to Britain, and are seen at coastal areas after or during gales. The winter plumage has grey upper parts and white underparts, and they eat by picking insects off water surface. The common buzzard is a medium to large bird of prey found over most of Europe and parts of Asia, with around 40,000 breeding pairs in Britain. They are known as opportunists and can often be seen walking over recently ploughed fields looking for worms, insects, or dead pheasant and rabbit. Paul captured the dramatic moment on camera at 4 p.m. on Sunday. And that's quite an interesting story in itself, I think. What I actually like about that article is it's pretty much informative. You know, some of the newspaper, you know, articles just give like brief bits of info, get on with the subject, and then that's the end of it. But the fact that that's giving you some info on the birds discuss themselves, yeah, pretty good stuff. Right, what else? Upcoming this weekend, 24th and 25th, or 25th and 26th? This is where one needs a calendar. Anyway, yeah, coming up this weekend, the RSPB are celebrating the 30th Big Garden Birdwatch. Saturday the 24th, Sunday 25th of January. What that involves, this has been going on for 30 years, obviously. I'll be taking part, and what it involves is looking through the window or going in the garden or whatever, doesn't matter, rain or shine, you can sit again with a cup of tea, excuse to have a drink here while I explain this. He says, demonstrating how to drink tea. I've got an O level in that. Excuse me. Yeah, look through your window, see what's in your garden over an hour's period, and monitor the number of birds you see during that time. You can't keep marking them over and over, so if you see a blackbird come once and then it comes again and again, you don't know whether it's the same one or different ones, possibly. Obviously, if it's a male and a female, then you've got one of each and you can ID them pretty easily. But generally, it's just the amount of birds. So one sparrow lands, that's one sparrow. You see two together, right, great, during that hour, it's the most number. You know, you get the picture, so that's two house sparrows. Blah, 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 blah. So that's what you do. RSPB, on their website, will be collating the information and request that you send it to them shortly after. Gives them a good idea of what visitors we get in our gardens, what birds are in decline, what areas they migrate to, etc., etc. So a bit of scientific research, also a good bit of fun, and good for encouraging people to feed the birds at this time of year. So that's that. So that is the birding news for this week. If you have any stories or articles, send them in to me. My email address and the email address for this is birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. Okay, another quick cup of drink of tea, sorry. Then we're on to the things that you've sent me. So that's coming up in 1 second. Okay, so here we go. This is the section called Have Your Say, which I've sent out threads in various forums on the internet, requested people get in touch with me via email, etc., etc. The forums which I sent to were mainly the following. Friends of Nature, that's one forum. Talk Wigan, which is a local forum I go on, coming from Wigan as I do. The Bird Watching Forum, which is a small forum that I've set up. And Bird Forum, which I'm just clicking on now to get the thread up and running. Excuse me. Yep, there we go. That's it. Everything all up, running and set. By the way, if you need to find out any more about these or you want to join any of these bird watching forums, etc., just get in touch with me at birdpod.co.uk. I'll send you all the links. Same goes for any of the news stories. I can give you more information on that if you just get in touch. So when I did these, I just requested that somebody either give me a name, a username, location, etc., etc., and what they liked about birding, bird watching, birds in general. Okay, so this is from Chickpea in Norway. Why I like bird watching. For me, it's a great excuse to get out, and I feel quite privileged when I see a bird that is not so common. Yep, I'd agree with that. That's a fair enough comment. Emily from North Devon. There's nothing I like more than seeing birds, whether they be the common sterling or a rarity. I get so excited, especially after seeing the first ever brambling in my garden the other day. I find them so fascinating. The lives they lead are so full of danger and hard work, yet they keep going. They don't let life get them down. Plus, I love their shapes, their colours, and above all, their hauntingly beautiful songs. No human songwriter can get near the sound of a blackbird, robin, skylark, or song thrush. Yep, I perfectly agree with that. And that's why I like the blackbird so much. Good excuse to. And my other favourite songster there being the robin. Yeah, I agree with you about starlings as well. I think they're lovely birds. I know a lot of people can't stand them. And someone even described them as being the chav of the bird world. But I think the colours are unusual. Just seeing the iridescence, you know, the little sparkling spots on. Anyway, I digress. Who have we got now? This is Joe in Radnorshire, which is Mid Wales, about birds. They are such a diverse animal, and they are everywhere. They are easy to see, and they are hard to see. Different parts of the country have different birds, and also have the same birds. They behave differently. There is an amazing pecking order, but small are not always overawed by large. Blue tits behave bigger than their size suggests. They are beautiful, they are complex, they are simple. They make the most beautiful sounds and the most grating of sounds. And in some cases, the same birds reside all over the planet. And they do the thing that man has wanted to do since time immemorial, fly. Less said about penguins and kiwis, okay? Yep, that just reminds me of another forum I went off with. Some wagyu joined up, said that he'd seen a penguin flying across Wales. Do they normally come to this part of the world? I didn't fall for it. I just asked him which aeroplane it had come on. Anyway, what else have we got? This is from Bunny in Suffolk. There is nothing I like to do more than sit and watch birds and listen to their song. This pleasure is doubled when there is nothing else to be heard. I love the colours, the different shapes, and just watching them get on with their day. Bliss. Yep, that's the thing I don't like about going to work, apart from having to work. Is, you know, you look out in your garden and all the birds have just come out and there we are, Mr. Robin's landed there, and you just want to sit and watch for a little bit, and you look at your watch and you think, I've got a few appointments, if I go in late, and, you know, not a good excuse, sorry I'm late folks, I was too fascinated by the birds. It'd be honest, but it'd get me in trouble. No, I like nothing better than watching birds. Nature's television. That's what I think. Turn the television off and get out and watch that. Better than Coronation Street any day. Right, telling you something you know there. This is from Adam Canning from Southwest Birmingham. What draws me to bird watching is that it's different every time, and just nice to see birds in their natural habitat while being outdoors with nature. I have many favourite birds, I don't know where to begin to list them. I've been bird watching where Bill Oddie used to when he was a lad. It's about a 6-minute drive from my home. I saw a buzzard that wasn't sawing the sky, and it was sat perched in a tree. Also while I was there, I saw 3 herons. I was only taking a picture of one when 2 others came out of nowhere, and they flew across the landscape together. Yep, like the joke with buzzes, you wait for one, then 3 come at once. Yeah, herons a particular favourite of mine, and I've took some great photos. Not a 3 at once, I have to say. That would be a... yeah, I'd love that. Okay, this is Toadlet Fan from Farnham in Surrey. To watch birds in their own habitat, whether it's in one's own garden or a windswept corner of Norfolk, is to gain an insight into the lives of creatures who have a complex and challenging day-to-day existence and who perceive the world in glorious colour like ourselves. It allows you to connect with your own wild spirit and gives your heart wings with which to join them in the skies. Yeah, they are complex animals. I never thought of that at one point. Just saw more of a bird at the end of it. The more you observe, the more you... well, I'm telling you, you know, the more you learn about this. So thanks for that one. This is from Sharon in Lancashire. I love watching birds. They are so beautiful and they fascinate me. Don't really see many rare birds around here, but get a lot of sparrows and blackbirds in my backyard. Also, there is a robin who keeps popping by and is beautiful. I like going up to White Coppice, which is near to where I live. And in spring and summer, there are wagtails, swallows. I've heard owls, but unfortunately never seen one. And now and again, skylarks, which have a beautiful song. Love going to the coast, as you see many different birds. But the one I was most excited about was seeing an oyster catcher in Northumberland at Sea Houses. Southport is not far from where we live, and there is a big nature reserve there. Saw quite a few kestrels last time we went. The bird I would most like to see is a barn owl. Yeah, I agree with you about the owls because I have to say I've not seen an owl yet. Other people think, good grief, you've not seen an owl? But I've only been doing this since last June, folks, so I've seen quite a few birds, but love to see an owl, so that's on my list at some future point. This is from Falco in Ireland. The fact that it is always a surprise, that's what he likes, or he or she likes about bird watching. You never know what you're going to see. The fact that birds are also incredibly linked in the big scheme of nature. The fact that no matter where you are watching birds, they can make it exciting, whether you're waiting for the train and a pigeon walks by your feet, and whether you are searching the country and a buzzard soars overhead. It makes every situation interesting. I agree with that. Used to pass the time on for me when I was at the station. This is from Darling B. I used to think it was just seeing such amazing creatures soaring gracefully above the treetops or flittering about my garden, but rather it is that in order to have those moments you have to slow down and leave your busy life behind for a while. An example, I was coming home from the doctor's office and when I came around the corner a group of wood pigeons caught my eye. There was about 8 of them in an open space near the river and I just stopped there and watched them. They were just poking around looking for something to eat, but for that time all the rushing about and coughing my head off just stopped. I had this link with the natural world around me that other people never took the time to see. I think for me, actually any sighting of a wild animal, like when I saw my first fox, birds are the conduit which draws me into the beauty of nature which surrounds all of us but which seems to go unseen by... oh, hang on, I'm repeating myself. Which surrounds all, but seem to go unseen by others in the earth. But I didn't stop to admire the trees or the river, but when I saw that flutter of a bird's wing, I was drawn in. Bird watching allows me to connect with the natural world and disconnect from the hustle and bustle of modern living. And honestly, who wouldn't rather be outside listening to birds singing or watching them fly about rather than inside some building somewhere doing whatever it is our modern life is demanding of us? Yeah, sorry for the cock up there, folks, but I agree with that. And taking time out from the world to bird watch is ideal for me. I went through a period of stress a while back, and what else was bird watching? You know, just sitting there chilling out. It's a great stress reliever. You know, forget sitting there and getting canned up. That's not my style. I'd sooner watch the birds. Anyway, let's carry on. This is from Cathy in Hove, East Sussex. I've been struggling to encourage birds into my garden. We moved here in October 2006, but with perseverance, They are coming. I can't put into words how excited I was when I first saw my first ever goldfinch last spring summer. I've never seen them before, and then to have them in my garden was amazing. I could sit and watch birds all day, just going about their business, wondering what is going through their little minds. Even the dullest bird is beautiful when you see them up close. Their song lifts your spirits every single time. They're an absolute joy to have around. It's a great feeling to sit and hear the bird and know which birds are around. Being able to listen and identify the little robin scolding away in the bushes or the alarm call of the blackbird. Just wish I had more time to sit, listen and watch. Yep, that's it. There's not enough hours in the day, is there? I'd love to do that. Righty-ho, this is from Lully Owl. I started bird watching thanks to my older brother, and at a fairly early age, I became fascinated with them. After a few years, I drifted away from the hobby, and only rediscovered it about 12 months ago, partly, I believe, thanks to Bill Oddie and Spring Autumn Watch. Even in my non-bird-watching days, I was always fascinated with the natural world, so I found it very easy to get back into the hobby. Bird-watching has several draws for me. Firstly, it is very calming and soothing. After a hectic week at work, there is nothing better than to spend a few hours in the countryside watching and hearing the birds going about their often hectic lives. Also, birds offer so much. There is so much variety in size and shape, from a tiny wren to a huge mute swan. They have so many different habits, from a nervous dunnock to a bald herring gull. I have to also mention the calls and songs they make. Imagine a world without bird song. Again, there is so much variety, from the beautiful song of a blackbird to the ghostly shriek of a barn owl. You can also add the excitement of seeing a bird that you have never seen before, or a bird you have never photographed before. This, I think, adds a challenge to an already fascinating pastime. Yep, fully agree with that. It is calming and soothing. As to the variety in size and shape, I'm still stumped when it comes to a lot of wading birds. You know, and then you pick up your field guard and you look in and you go, oh, that's what it is, because it looks like those five other ones. So no. Luckily, I know a more experienced bird watcher whose input I can ask. And I am getting there slowly. But bare-tailed and black-tailed godwits is one that still stumps me, but we'll not go into that. This is an ID problem. Nothing to do with why I like birds. Yeah, I suppose it is why I like them, because they aren't always that easy to ID. Okay, this one is from Squirrel. I'm an accidental bird watcher. I developed a passion for squirrels, still have it, but when 5 years ago we had new double glazing installed, I could finally see through the windows, especially the kitchen window. Cue interest in furry animals with a begging look, cue bucket and cue birds. I not only grew more curious as to what was there, but after trying and failing to identify birds for a long time, finally the squirrels helped me to find my way. Now I can identify more than I dare care mention, and as someone who now infuriatingly nocturnally bird watches when late night shopping, throw bats into the equation too, plus foxes and maybe deer, and that's what I've become. I did start doing some bird watching as a kid, but could only identify sand martins, robins, sparrows, pigeons and blue tits, and maybe the odd duck, but now I've gotten to the point where, ooh, it's a chaffinch, without realising I've said it. Maybe I have a reason as to why now. The last 5 years have been so heavily nature orientated. My thanks as always to squirrels for pointing these new birds out to me, by them allowing new birds to follow them into the garden. I really believe that if a wild animal comes to you, word will get passed to other species, and if you're good, they'll follow, as they know it's safe. Then again, the other week, I didn't expect a freaking great big owl to be sat in the pre-trimmed bushes in the garden either. Maybe I'm just now doing a little too well. It sounds like everything's going all right to me, though. I'm jealous about the owl coming and the squirrels. We've got like quite a high wall and it's a small yard-stroke garden area. So no squirrels here, but we do get plenty of birds. And yeah, I believe you're right with that if the birds know it's safe. And of course, if there is food on offer, they do keep coming back. So, yep, great one there. This is from Retropad. I don't go out expressly to watch birds. I go out with my camera and just keep an open mind about what I might see. And to be honest, I've been pretty lucky over the last year, as my photos will testify. I think that it's easy to concentrate on birds because they are so abundant, but I always like to think that I'm going to see something more when I'm creeping around in the countryside. Yeah, I think that's partly where my interest developed more, because I was inadvertently bird watching, taking my dogs for a walk and seeing birds while with her, and then just happening to have my binoculars with me while I take my dogs for a walk. So it's great I can combine two things at once. If I want to go out specifically bird watching, off I go to Merton Mere or somewhere like that with my binoculars and my telescope. If I go dog walking, might take my binoculars as well, see what we see well with her. Dogs are happy, they get a walk. I'm happy because I get a walk. Like walking my dogs, and I like birds as well. So it's exercise, pleasure for the animals who I take with me. Oh, I'm occasionally feeding ducks as well, so great stuff. Okay, this is from Pat in Hertz, UK. I like birds because they are brilliant. They're all around you, and if you take the time to notice them, they will brighten up every journey you make. They're intelligent, sociable, and beautiful. What more could you ask for free as you go about your daily life? And that's the big thing, isn't it? It doesn't cost anything. You know, people say, oh, they're expensive for binoculars, but you don't always need them. You can still see them when you're out and about in the park, but it is a bonus to have binoculars as well. But once you've paid for it, that's it. It's not an expensive hobby in that respect. This is from Lynette in West Midlands. I enjoy watching the birds that visit my garden to feed and bathe. Their interaction with each other and their behaviour is very different from species to species, and I enjoy their company, whether I'm watching them from inside or out. Again, very true. What I like about that is sometimes when you go out into your garden and the birds trust you, and to be not far away from a blackbird or a robin, to me, I think is brilliant, you know, because they know that you're not a threat. I know robins are seen to be bold, but I mean, let's face it, look at the size of a human being to the size of a robin. You know, it is outgunned, basically, so I think it's a privilege to have a bird in your company. This is from Becky in Long Island, New York. I love birds and love to watch them. One reason, they are usually colourful in one way or another. I also love to hear their chirp and sing. Sorry, to hear the chirp and sing. Yep, can get no better than that. Right, moving on, excuse me for a second. This is from Busy Lizzie, who says, I'm not a serious bird watcher, but I do take an interest when we're out and about. It's nice to know what's what, habits and habitats. I take an interest when what comes into the garden. Excuse me, my alarm going off for some reason. I take an interest what comes into the garden, but don't encourage them these days because of the cats. At one time, I had a well-stocked bird table and liked nothing better than to sit in the conservatory with my binoculars and bird book, identifying the visitors and observing their antics. I look forward to doing it again when the kitties are a bit older and less interested in killing everything that moves. Well, that's cats for you. We'll touch upon that next week in the podcast when the discussion will be how to make a garden bird friendly. This is from Nikki. I'm not a great bird watcher and I don't know the difference between most species of birds, but I like to leave food out in the garden and we get some lovely birds visiting. My particular favourite is a little robin redbreast. It sits on the fence and just stirs for what seems like ages before flying off again. I look out for him every day. Yep, I've thought that before when I first started bird watching, you know, and I want to know everything. You know, you get keen on it, what's the names of it all. Does it matter sometimes? You can look at a beautiful painting. Does it matter who painted it or when it was painted? You admire it for itself. Same with birds, isn't it? Okay, I'm looking through this. This is from Molly. I love all creatures, and for me, birds give a calming effect to those that watch them. My husband Gordon and I went to Merton Mere last year, where I took loads of photos of different birds. I took one of a flamingo and nearly fell in the water because I wanted to get a good close-up. The place is idyllic and I'd recommend it. I was surprised my leg didn't start hurting as we were walking round, but luckily it was all on the flat and there are plenty of benches to sit and stir. A very calming place to be. Yep, great place, Merton Mere. You've got the birds that they're trying to conserve, struck captive birds such as the Ooh, let's have a see. A Hawaiian goose or Nene, which I think have been brought back from near extinction, and they do have a colony there. It's great because you can either go in the hides and do the bird watching, or you can walk around and just look at the birds that they have resident. That's something I'd recommend, to go up to the Hawaiian geese and buy some food and feed them. Cracking animals, great stuff. So yeah, Merton Mere, one of my favourite places. Oh, let's see, what else have we got? I'm just going down a little bit because on this particular forum, things kind of went off topic, and it was for cats and against cats. And is there anything else? This is from H. I like birds too, as well as the feathered ones. Yeah, no problems with that. The old, I'm sure you know, birds, women, seem to be derogatory by some. Seem to be just a little term of affection by others, but. Right. Well, if you've got a 70s film, a carry-on film, you know, it's all about birds, not always with feathers on. Right, are we still going on about cats there? Let us see, let us see. Here's a little bit of an addition by Molly. I get birds in my garden despite my cats. I put a photo up on a while ago of one of the cats sat on the adjoining garden wall with a magpie about 3 feet from it. Yeah, I remember that photo. The magpie was giving the cat a lot of grief, but the cat made no move towards it, so they're not all bad. Yep, very true. As Chewy will know, that's me, Chew Baxter, my nickname on some of these forums. As Chewy will know, some birds are also predators like herons with the fish in folks' gardens, but we can't condemn them all because of their natural instincts. True. If I had a garden, call me cruel, I would be buying fish to suck up the pond to feed herons if I was getting them there. I was talking to one chap who got some prize carp, and it was doing his head in that they kept getting heron visiting. And he tried all manner of things to keep these birds out, netting, the plastic herons, supposedly to scare them away, which I read somewhere that can actually do the opposite, where the heron thinks it's a mate and it attracts them. So, you know, similar to a scarecrow, if there's such a thing as a welcome crow. So this was like, oh, really. Anyway, let's carry on. This is from Steve Zodiac in Staffordshire. The main reason I like birding is, I like spending time on my own in the great outdoors, in all weathers and braving the elements. I've tried hill walking and the usual outdoor pursuits, but I just found it boring. I've always studied birds and wildlife, so I go out birding. I do all my birding on my own. I wouldn't envisage going with anyone else. Yeah, I know, unsociable git. Though I don't mind big twitches. Nothing wrong with that. That's what I like about bird watching. I can go with my brother-in-law, who's a keen bird watcher, been doing it for years. I enjoy that, but I do prefer my own company as well. Or humanless company, because I might take my dogs with me. You know, they're not chipping in or looking at the watch and say, oh, come on, is it not getting a bit cold? Doing, you know, anything like that. You go in your own time, come back when you want, no hassles. This is from Mike in Blackpool. Main reason I like it is that it gives me a great reason, stroke motivator, to get off my backside and get out into the world if I can't sleep in the morning or at any other time. I also have always liked watching wildlife in general, and birds are so obliging by actually showing themselves during daylight hours. You also meet interesting and friendly people by and large while out and about. I've also found that it makes even the most boring bus journey or walk down the street more stimulating, because you're always on the lookout, just in case. Your level of alertness is higher. The downside is that I have to concentrate harder to maintain my watch on the grey bit of tarmac in front of me while driving. I'm not into all the Pokemon style, gotta catch 'em all bird watching. I actually like to watch the birds and will just as happily watch a robin hopping and bopping about as poke about searching for some new bird, though I do get excited if I just happen to see something new and I'm maintaining a life list. Having said that, I'm not going to sit there watching gulls desperately, hoping to pick out a rarity just now. That said, I wasn't all that bothered about compulsively identifying anything much about 6 months ago, and apart from the usual common species, I was happy to call the gull and the little brown bird a little brown sparrow-like thingummy. I'm desperately trying to resist binocular stroke scope envy, but my inner gadget freak is screaming for release. I'll be face-coating my windows next. For some reason, I like watching widgeon pootling about and whistling like maniacs. Though grebe are fun to watch, kingfishers while fishing are awesome. I think the most exciting ones to watch in action, though, are peregrine falcons. That's Mike. That is weird because that mirrors most of what I'm into. I think, as I mentioned, I started it last June. I like watching birds for the sake of watching it. It gets me out and about. Not bothered whether it's rare or not, although I do get excited seeing a rare bird. The binocular and scope envy, well, there's always going to be somebody with better equipment than you, but mate, where binoculars are concerned, my Daddy Praktiker or Pentax, so the ones that I got a spot on, I don't fault them, I'm happy with those, but if somebody wanted to drop a telescope my way for about 1,200 quid's worth, that'll do for me. Subtle hint there, so if you want to win the lottery, get one sent over. This is from Vera Kotcher, I hope I'm saying it right, West Midlands. Basically, it allows me to hunt without killing. For 30 years, I slaughtered that which I hunted. 8 years ago, I stopped the killing, but I can still hunt. And now when I pull the trigger, brackets camera, everything seemed right. I wish I'd started recording my sightings years ago, but I suppose it's never too late to start. For a comment there. Yep, so you slaughtered that which you hunted. So you were doing it for a reason, you weren't just doing it aimlessly. That's an interesting perspective, that. So you're still hunting, but not killing, yeah. Nice one. This is from Joss Stratford. This is a reply about going birding on your own. Ditto. Actually dislike birding with others, by and large, especially on overseas trips. With one other I can occasionally tolerate. With more, it becomes tedious. With groups, I prefer to stay at home. Also, don't mind big twitches, though. They are the exception. Well, I've done local twitches, just a couple of. And there's been a few people knocking about there, so never done a big twitch. Well, that's not to say that I wouldn't do one. But for me, if a rare bird gets sighted, let's hope it's within travelling distance and I've enough petrol. I have no intentions of diving across country for anything at the moment. Well, that's about it for now. I hope you've enjoyed this. So that's been your comments. For next week, next weekend, which will be, I can't remember, he says again, was it the 23rd and 24th? Nope, 24th and 25th. So this one going out on Sunday the 18th. The next episode will be due out on the 25th of January. The subject of this is making your garden bird friendly. So if you want to send any comments on that, again, birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. That's birdpod, one word, @hotmail.co.uk. So we'll be discussing how to make a garden bird-friendly. What is a bird-friendly garden? You know, are you encourage birds to come in? Are you keep predators out? Problems with pest control, etc., etc. So, yep. So I'll be giving you some of my comments on that and what I've done to get a bird-friendly garden and hopefully to hear from some of you, either through email or through some of the threads which I'm going to start on various forums again. So, this has been the Bird Pod for Sunday the 18th of January. Don't forget that email address again if you need to contact me for anything. birdpod@hotmail.co.uk. And, yep, just coming up to 45 minutes worth of recording time. I hope it's been interesting. I hope you've managed to tolerate the sound of my voice. And we're going to have one more word from this blackbird again before we go. So, until next week, see you then, folks. Hope you've enjoyed it.